Do you know, she said.
What'd she say?
She said.
What'd she say?
She said a lot of things, but mostly she said stuff about Harvey Weinstein. The book, She Said, by the journalists Jody Kantor and Megan Toohey, during their talk with Bill Woodward. You know Bill Woodward, don't you?
I know Bob Woodward.
And their conversation with Bob Woodward, who is a journalist. You know who he is.
Everybody knows Bob Woodward. Bob Woodward is probably the biggest celebrity journalist of the past 50 years because of his work with Carl Bernstein in really bringing down the Nixon presidency with their absurd imitation of investigative reporting, using a guy who should have been in jail for a criminal activity, namely this disgruntled intelligence operative who got passed over. He handed them everything. They didn't do any investigative reporting. A source, a whistleblower in the government who had nothing on Nixon of any merit whatsoever. And so then Woodward and Bernstein become celebrities. They make this movie. Because if you say Bob Woodward, most people say, oh, Robert Redford. I saw him in the movie.
Oh, I see Robert Redford. Well, Bob Woodward was interviewing these two ladies, and I guess he must have got rude or something. I haven't heard the interview. I read some stuff on it. I don't think it actually is out yet. But he kind of gave them a hassle or was asking questions pointedly, and the crowd got disgruntled as well. So,
yeah, I think I know it went on. Well, let's get down to the facts. Apparently interrupted the authors a couple of times, but that's what he interrupted them? Well, he with a question. Now, the point is that he was not part of a team of journalists who were there to ask questions. So that was his job. Right. Whether he was rude or polite, the authors say he wasn't rude and that they were grateful for his appearance and that they respected.
But a book tour and it was the start of it.
That's
they,
right.
They
that's
held
right.
no grudge.
But what made people mad was Woodward more than once asked, are you saying that rape, because we're talking about Harvey Weinstein,
right?
Are you saying that rape is always just about power and not about sex, that sex has nothing to do with it? At which point they started booing him, and later people who were present in the audience said, he doesn't understand the social context of rape. And whenever somebody in a minority group, I don't care whether it's black, homosexual, feminist, when somebody in a minority group says, you don't understand, what he's really saying is, you don't agree with me and I have complete truth. The problem with Woodward is that he, quote, doesn't understand that rape is never about sex, that it's always about power. Rape is a power trip. It's an equation that's been standard issue among feminists for as long as I can remember. When I was writing my first book back in the early 80s and studying the history of feminism and studying how their positions had changed, this is one of the things I ran into over and over and over from all the leading feminists, that rape is not about sex. It's only about power. Men show their dominance by the way they treat women. Now, in their view, marriage is only a license for men to rape a specific woman in order to show his power over her. All of marriage, for feminists, is just another rape power trip.
So marriage is about dominance over women, and the sexual aspect of rape has nothing to do with rape?
Yeah, that's right. It has nothing to do with sex itself. Now, in the case of Harvey, I don't want to talk much about Harvey Weinstein, because obviously he committed a number of different absurd acts and evil acts. He could hold power over the lives of aspiring actresses and even actresses who had reached the top. He could lure them on by his promises for getting the right parts, that he would promote them. So he could use power, but of course you always use power to get something that you want. That's the nature of life. You know, there's this accusation made by my friend Taki Theodorakopoulos in a column. He said that Weinstein had said to him, it's one thing for you, you're handsome, charming, women love you, but I'm an ugly old Jew and I can't get no satisfaction. The lawyers of Harvey Weinstein approached Taki and forced him to make a retraction. Taki, like everybody, goes overboard in telling a story and building it up, and he had no proof. I feel quite sure that he did not make this up, that this is actually something that Weinstein told him, but you've got to back off under those circumstances. Weinstein had power that he could use over women. But what the feminists are really arguing is that all sexual acts, especially rape, are all about dominating women, not about having sex. Well, one of the things they're doing is they're lumping together all cases of rape as if it's the same thing. I've noticed recently a friend of mine who has a very brilliant person, but he has the habit of finding a simple solution that covers all cases. Now, if we're talking about cases of sexual violence, it's a broad spectrum. For example, there's a tradition in Sicily where if you want to marry a girl, and she may want to marry you, but her family says no, well, one way to get this job done is to waylay her as she's walking down the street and force her to have sexual relations with you,
man,
so that you can get married. Because now, for the honor of the family,
right.
Now, the girl is not necessarily always opposed. There was a famous case in, I think it was the 60s, where there was the first case where a woman said, I don't care. I'm going to have an illegitimate baby, but I'm not marrying this creep. Often, it would be something even done with complicity. She didn't want to say she had willing sex with this man, even though she wants to marry him. That's one form of rape.
And obviously, that's extreme,
But that's the most benign form of rape.
Okay.
There's also cases where a guy dates a girl a couple of times, they get drunk, she's going along with it, and at the last minute, she wises up and says, I don't think so,
right.
And he gets carried away. This is not a plot for dominance.
No.
He's just, it's libido acting up, and then when she changes her mind, he doesn't.
But she does have a right to say no, and how far is up to her?
Well, I'm not saying that what the guy does is not wrong.
Yeah.
It is quite wrong. But the girl has complicity in it. Now, at the other extreme, there are really resentful, twisted men who do seek power over women in general by assaulting them. Just as there are losers I've been reading about, they all turn out to be Asian American men who girls won't go out with them. You know, they think they're geeks, they're mathematicians.
Okay, so it's not always Asian, it could be any type of geek.
But I'm saying the cases that we've seen in the news have been, Asian geeky scientists. The girls turn them down, and so they go on a murder spree.
Oh.
It's sort of a parallel.
That sounds like a power trip to me.
Well, yes, that's partly it. But of course, there are much simpler cases of primitive male animals on the street with a low IQ. They see an attractive piece of human flesh, and they go for it because they're animals. And
the nature gone wild or out of control.
Well, it's like half the rock and roll songs you probably ever played are to incite people into this mood.
Weird, perverted. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
I can't hardly deny it.
Consider some parallels to rape, other kinds of crimes like murder or, let's say, theft. Take a little boy, 8-year-old boy. He steals a toy from a neighbor. Why does he do it? Well, the most obvious possibility is that the kid doesn't have this toy,
right,
and he wants it, so he takes it.
I want it.
He's premoral. But there's another reason. A boy, 8, 9, 10 years old, can envy the kid.
I want it because you have it.
You have it, and I resent you for it, so there's envy. And when this little creep grows up, he may continue to steal.
Huh.
For example, he may not want the object. He may already have a big stereo set, but he may know that he can sell this $5,000 worth of stereo equipment for $1,000 and buy something he wants, like drugs with it.
Okay.
Or he may, in fact, envy, as he did when a child, rich people who can afford to buy the things he wants.
Okay.
Or if he gets to be addicted to this, career criminals, and they like to show their power over the suckers in the middle and upper classes who work hard in order to be able to afford to buy things. And so he rips them off and feels morally superior.
Ah.
In general, people commit murder for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's to gain profit. Sometimes it's a fit of anger. Sometimes it's envy or somebody stands in your way. Often it's revenge for some injury. There are multiple possible reasons. Aristotle explains this in case of adultery. You might lust after your neighbor's wife and have relations with her or seduce her just because she's gorgeous. Also, as Aristotle said, you may envy the fact that your neighbor has a more beautiful wife than you do, and this is to show him up, to take away something. Only a complete idiot, Rex, would think,
hey,
I don't mean you.
Yes.
You're a work in progress.
Yes, I am a work in progress. Continue, doctor.
Only a complete idiot would think there is only one motive for any class of sins or crimes, like rape, murder, theft, it's adultery, etc.
Right.
And also, only an idiot would pretend that the most obvious motivation for rape, which would be sex, like the most obvious motivation for theft, which is greed, or the most obvious motivation for murder, which is revenge and anger, would think these were not ever operative. I want to read you a little bit from the beginning of one of the greatest detective novels ever written, Quer brutto pasticciaccio nella via Merulana. It's a 1930s mystery novel by Carlo Emilio Gadda. It describes the investigator, the policeman, Inspector Ingravallo. It says he sustained, among other things, that unforeseen catastrophes are never the consequence or the effect, if you prefer, of a single motive, of a cause singular. But they are rather like a whirlpool, a cyclonic point of depression in the consciousness of the world toward which a whole multitude of converging causes have contributed. In other words, what you deal with in a crime is a constellation of forces and motives that converge from different directions. Otherwise, fairly normal guy commits a crime like theft, like, you know, armed robbery, murder, rape, that there are many things. He's depressed. He's coming down off a drug high. He's envious. He's resentful. He's stirred. And all of these things sort of are floating around, and he, as a moral actor, is completely responsible for what he does. But it would be hard to sort out the motives. You know, every time you see a school shooting or a mass murder, they say, well, it's not clear what the motivation was. How important is the motivation? Some sick SOB has gone out and murdered people he doesn't know. We'd be very foolish to think that any serious human activity, criminal or virtuous, can be explained by a single motivation.